Okay, thank you. This is the Pacifica Audit Committee meeting on June 3rd, 2019, beginning at 8:43 p.m. Eastern. I'll take a roll call. One second, let me just get the list here.
Eileen, Maxie,
okay.
Did you send an agenda out? I didn't see it. I'm asking if you sent it.
Did I thought out. I sent it to you, but give me a minute. Let's see, where is it? I'm sorry, everybody. Let me send it out to everyone.
Eileen, it's Paulina here. If you want to proceed with the roll call, I can send the agenda to Maxie.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Paulina. Okay. All right, Adrienne LaViolette, I believe she's not here. Oh, Darlene Pagano? No, Darlene. Donald Goldmacher asked for an excused absence. I said he'd be absent. I am here. Elaine Duncan?
Here.
Eugene Hammond? Not here.
He
wrote
he,
to say
he,
that
he,
yeah,
he
he's
come,
a, has
come.
A class, and
yeah.
I don't
he
know.
Had, he had a rehearsal tonight.
Okay. Gary Bost. Not here. Grace Aaron. Grace is here for now. Jamie Gomez.
Here.
James McFadden. James. Julie Hewitt.
I am here.
I knew that. Marilyn Vogt Downey.
Here.
Here. Paulina is here.
Yes.
And Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Okay, thank you. That is how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 out of 15. One second. Oh, James McFadden is asking for his call-in information. Let me just send it to him. We'll get going in a minute, everybody. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Anyway, so we have an agenda for this evening. Let me read that out. The agenda is call to order with roll call, selection of pro tem secretary, selection of timekeepers, approval of the agenda, approval of the May 13 minutes. Then we want to introduce NETA's Tamara Swiderski to everybody. She's Pacifica's new interim chief financial officer. Then we'll be looking for updates on audit-related issues for fiscal years 2017 and 2018 from NETA, Rogers & Company, and our executive director. Discussion of the deadlines and what to do about them in the context of that we're probably not going to make them. Or at least certainly not all of them. Any comments from Rogers and Company on their visit, their field visit to KPFK that they made a couple of weeks ago? We should really then have an election of the audit committee chair and secretary for the 2019 committee. I am acting as pro tem chair at this time. That'll be followed by action items and any other new business, and we'll select the next meeting date, which will be a discussion because people are having, we're having some overlap with other meetings. And then we will adjourn to a closed session. We have two issues. I don't expect it to be very long, but one of the issues has to do with the contract and the other has to do with the personnel matter, so they must be in closed session. So we have conducted the roll call. Do I have a volunteer for a pro tem secretary for tonight? Someone, please.
Eileen, I'm
yes?
not volunteering, but I have a little suggestion. Can we have as the first item on the agenda the meeting date for the next meeting?
Well, I wanted to find out from Nita and the auditors and from you, you know, about the CPB. What are our deadlines? What is important? If we can't have 2018 in time for the CPB submission, then do we need to hurry? You know, do we need to get things moving as quickly as possible or not? If we do, then we need meetings sooner. If not, then we don't. So that's why I didn't put it earlier. Mm-hmm. You see my point?
Well, let me ask a question, Arlene?
Sure.
Okay.
Please
my
do.
Question
yes.
is whether or not we have a meeting next week,
uh-huh.
can we at least decide now to cancel the Monday meeting,
uh-huh.
which is in conflict with the Personnel Committee and at this time
mm-hmm.
the Strategic right. Planning Committee? We just
mm-hmm.
there are three meetings all scheduled for that night.
Mm-hmm.
Strategic Planning
right.
already
okay.
moved their meeting to the 17th.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So
but there are still personnel. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So at least can a decision be made to whether or not to cancel the meeting for the 10th, and then figure out when we would meet next, so as not to have a conflict with the Personnel Committee.
I'm not yet willing to, as I said, I don't know what our timeline is and what our urgency is, so I'm not going to cancel the meeting on the 10th. I mean, it's not just me. I don't think we should cancel it until we know what's going on with everything else. But you suggested that perhaps we could meet on the 11th, which is Tuesday. So maybe we want to ask people if they could do that.
Elaine, to the staff.
Go ahead, Elaine.
I think we've got a loggerhead, mainly based on emotions of changing it or not changing it. And
mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that we would better serve our members if we moved it to the 11th so the Personnel Committee could get their work done on that next Monday. We get our work done on Tuesday. Since we're delayed already because we're not going to have the material for the audit to
mm-hmm.
finish, and I don't think one day would absolutely kill us to do that, so that they can have all of their members there who are working very hard as well as we are. I think it would be a gracious gesture on our part to do that.
I have nothing against it. What about everybody else? Do any of the members who are on the call have a problem with the 11th, with meeting the 11th?
Point of order.
I don't.
Is that Paulina?
Yes,
yeah.
Please. Shouldn't we elect a pro tem secretary so that...
I think that's a very good idea. Thank you.
No, taken off the discussion, otherwise
yeah.
we'll get lost. Thank you.
Okay.
But,
good idea. Thank you.
As long as it's not the 11th is not a Tuesday, I am okay with it.
The 11th is a Tuesday.
Which means that I might not be able... Would it be at the same time?
I
will,
think so.
Yeah, I won't be available, but then again, you know, because of one member of the committee, obviously, that should not weigh on the decision.
Sure.
Go ahead. Yep.
Thanks. Yeah, let's get the secretary issue out of the way. Do I have a volunteer? I have seven other people on this call. Somebody should be able to do it, no?
Paulina here again. I can volunteer, but I cannot guarantee that I can stay till the end. That's the problem. So
okay. Well, you know.
Yeah, I can do my best. If there's nobody else, I can do my best to. I can do the minutes up to the point where I no longer am available. So.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So there you go, and I'll be able to send you the list of people who are here and who aren't.
Great.
Lena, I'll send her the list. Okay. So, has anybody had a chance to look at the... Oh, we need to get a timekeeper. Do I have somebody who can keep an eye on the time for us?
I can do that for you.
Was that Elaine?
Yeah.
Was that Elaine?
Yes. I accidentally just connected myself, and so I'm not sure. Okay, I'm not muted. Yes, I'll do the timekeeper.
We got you. We got you. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, you know how we are not too strict here, but we want to stay more or less within... You know, we don't want to run very late,
right.
So you can remind us if we start going off on tangents or go to, you know,
not a problem.
Too long. Thank you. All right. So I read out the agenda earlier, and can I get an approval of this agenda?
I propose we accept the agenda.
Okay. Thank you. Any objections? Accept the agenda. Was that Marilyn who proposed
that? Yes, it was.
Thank you. All right. Hearing no objection, it's approved. So we can move on. Thank you. I sent out the May 13 minutes. Pretty short. They may not be entirely correct because I was acting as secretary at the same time. So if anybody, I don't know if anybody has any corrections for me or if we want to approve them now. And if you find something later, as you know, we can always change them or update them.
I move that we approve the meeting minutes.
Okay. That was Elaine.
By second.
Elaine. That was Paulina seconded.
I second.
I'm sorry, Marilyn?
Yes.
That? Okay.
Yes.
Any objections? Hearing no objections. Approved. Thank you. Okay. Now we get to the actual items on the agenda. The first one is the introduction of NETA's Tamara Swiderski, Pacifica's new interim CFO. So, Tamara, welcome to Pacifica. You started 2 days ago officially, and I guess you'll be with us for a half a year. And maybe you can say a little bit about your background and what you think your main, how your time will mostly be taken up. And if you have any thoughts on how you can help with getting the audits going along.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with you guys. My background, I have about 20 years or so experience in accounting. I've been with NETA for about 4 years. So I'm looking forward to learning more about Pacifica. I was telling Eileen earlier that I've been on the account with NETA for 2 to 3 months now, so I'm aware of some of the issues. So I know there's a lot to sort out, and so I'm just going to dive in and try to help you get a handle on some of the things that are a little out of control.
That's great. Does anybody have any questions for Tamara? Some immediate questions? I'm sure she'll help participate in some of the discussions later on. Maxie, go ahead.
I just thought it would be useful if Tamara could speak on her experience in going to the national office. That might be useful for some of the new members, particularly through the board, into this committee. And also her early perceptions of... perhaps what she feels is holding the audits from moving as swiftly as we might have expected.
Okay. Yes, I've actually been working on the day-to-day for the national office since Wandrin's departure. So that includes making a couple of trips out to the national office and going through all of the papers there, which there are a very, very, very large quantity of papers there, and really trying to get a handle on payables and things that are behind, and there's really not much in the way of record keeping. So one of the issues that we're dealing with are things that we're not aware of that are cropping up, and all of a sudden there's a problem. So we're kind of in crisis management mode right now, and that keeps us from being able to focus on some of the larger issues that we know that we need to prioritize, just so you can kind of understand the day-to-day activity that I'm seeing is managing cash flow, trying to make sure that that bills are at least caught up to the point that people aren't threatening to cut off services to us, because that's really where we're at right now. As far as the audit, George could speak more well-versed about that. I haven't been as involved in that, but I know that we're all working feverishly to try to get everything that's needed, and I will probably have a hand going forward in trying to get anything else that is needed. So I hope that answers your questions, Maxie.
Very well. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Tamara.
Can I ask a question? It's
of course.
Marilyn. Yeah.
Go
Could
ahead,
I
Marilyn.
Ask Tamara what would help her most at this point?
Well, that's a good question. When you're faced with the unknown, you don't know what it is that you need. So that's one of the issues. I really think it's just going to take time for things to crop up, and then we kind of know what to expect going forward. Now that we have more of a sense of order, we can kind of know what to expect. These are the routine things that are going to be, that need to be paid. These are the things we need to catch up on. These are the things we need to plan for. I think we've had a lot of conversation with the business managers already in trying to bring them in and get them going on what they need to be doing and what they need to be providing. So I really think it's just a function of time at this point.
Great. Okay. I guess let's move on to the next point then. Sorry, let me just grab it here. Okay, updates on audit-related issues for both of our both 2017 and 2018 audits. George had sent us some information earlier today. I'm not sure I grasped all of it. So I was hoping that he could give us sort of a layperson's explanation of what's going on, and if both George and Scott could kind of tell us what to expect or when to expect it, maybe. So I'll let you take it away, George, if you can.
Okay. Thanks, Eileen. And welcome, Tamara. We speak almost or communicate almost daily on Pacifica matters, so we're in good hands there. Just on the FY17 audit, we have the draft financials that Scott shared. There was a number of highlighted items that needed further research, and I provided all of those. And there was a few other dated items in the footnotes that I'm going through to update, and these are mostly in the later footnotes, and making sure that they are current and reflect current numbers. And so 17 is in very good shape, in my understanding. FY18, just from a building kind of mode in terms of building your audit, the fundamental piece is the trial balance, and that gives you your financial statements. And so we can't really finalize that until 17 is finalized. Based on what we provided to the Scott's team, we did prepare a provisional opening entry for 18, and that allows us to have provisional ending numbers, which I believe our numbers, we had one late adjustment from KPFA that needed to be reflected in our numbers and thus the KPFA numbers. But other than that, our numbers are holding up as far as I see. And so really until 17 is finalized, we can't finalize the 18 trial balance. We ran into the same issue with many unrecorded entries and reconciliations not completed, especially for national office. A lot of those entries really stopped being entered starting in May of last year. So very little was done in the May to September timeframe, so that instead of being able to pull together audited reconciliations and such, we were doing the actual transaction entries, including payroll, cash receipts, and any EFTs. But the only thing recorded was checks. So there was a lot of just transaction work that needed to be done, and so that's pushed 18 back. But having said that, we've got cash done for all areas except for KPFA. They had a problem with their membership database, and we're unable to generate reports. So there was the cash receipts for the last quarter had not been entered, and I believe they're working around that. I don't have a current status on that. And so that puts us better than we were in 17, in that cash hadn't been done across the board. So the average audit completion time has been about 21 months over the last 3 years. So we're going to take 12 months off of that easily. But a June 24th deadline for the FY18 audit was really, it was aspirational, but not realistic. So we do have a lot of the components ready to put together with a trial balance and build up to the financials. I'm not prepared to throw out a deadline date certain, but I think we're poised for a pretty quick completion, but it's another case of unknowns and how long it'll take to get responses from the stations once we get a rough trial balance and rough financials. That'll generate some questions, and then with that, it's ready to go to the auditors and they'll generate their own testing and questions based on that. So it's where we are with 18.
Thank you, George. Scott, maybe you can let us know what all this would what this would mean for you. But before then, I think we have someone else who's joined us. You might want to say hello.
This is James McFadden. I couldn't find the number, and I went through all my email. Sorry for getting on late.
Okay. Thanks, James. Welcome. All right, Scott.
Sure. So as you guys can imagine, our work kind of builds on the work that Tamara's doing and George's group is doing. And so with respect to 17, as you guys all remember and George mentioned, we had some highlighted items as well as in the footnotes. And so George and his group, I think we got the vast majority of that on Friday, and we've updated the draft. There's still, like George mentioned, a few items that they're working on for us to get the numbers so that we can kind of complete those footnotes. So once that's done, we should be in a position to share an updated draft. And then I know, as was mentioned earlier, we can figure out from a scheduling standpoint which meeting makes sense to actually present that draft and take questions and so forth. In terms of the 2018 audit, I would probably just make the recommendation. I understand what George is saying about, you know, ideally you want to wait until the 17 audit is finished so that you can have all those audit adjustments and then have that affect your opening balances for 18. At this point, I'm not aware that we have any audit adjustments. I think some of the areas where we're maybe have questions are really kind of those same areas that we've gotten into where the support isn't there just because of the record keeping at the time. So I would say at this point it's pretty safe to go forward with those provisional numbers that you have. The reason I say that is because I think one of the things that's going to be really key is I think if we do this completely in a linear fashion, it's just going to extend the timeline that we're already talking about. Because one of the things that, if you guys will remember from the fall that we did was, you know, we make sample selections for receivables, for revenue, for expenses. And those are things that, you know, usually, it's only fair to give people at the various stations, you know, a few weeks lead time to be able to pull that stuff together for us. So you tend to have a better response rate if people have more time to devote to that. So to the extent that they can roll forward with those provisional opening balances, maybe that would help to kind of get us the detail on those revenue, receivables, expenses, and payable numbers, and we can go ahead and do our sampling and provide those samples to the various stations so they could begin that process. It might just sort of shorten the timeline somewhat as we get fully devoted to 2018. Again, just a suggestion. As far as 18 goes, I mean, once we get, once George's group gets a little closer to feeling comfortable with their final trial balance, you know, we need to be talking and we need to be communicating so that we can get that rescheduled on our schedule. And then, you know, like I've said before, we have the resources and you guys are an important client. So it's just a matter of knowing when things are ready so that we can, have everybody queued up to do the actual audit work. And that's probably where we are from an audit perspective on 17 and 18.
Okay. My question, I think, let's see. I'm trying to understand about the CPB application that I understand we want to turn in for June 24th. But what I'm not sure about is there any point in turning in the application that includes a finished fiscal year 2017 audit without a fiscal year 2018 audit? And I was hoping Grace would be able to help us with that, or maybe Maxie, or anybody who knows about the requirements for applying to CPB.
This is Grace.
On that. Go ahead, Grace, please.
This is Grace. I don't know, but I think George might. I think George is, can we ask George?
We can ask
the
George.
Deadline for the community service grant is June 24th, according to John Krigler from the law firm we engaged to help us retrieve our CPB funding. But George may have some information about the application process.
I can speak to that a little bit. I haven't been in the recent conversations with CPB other than informally at a conference in Orlando a couple of weeks ago, and so they're very very aware of Pacifica and then wish to get back in the good graces. So my understanding is that they would need the FY18 AFR completed by that time.
AFR.
Oh, I'm sorry, jargon. Annual financial report. And so in CPB language, that's the report that takes our audit. So our audit includes essentially seven divisions with the five radio stations, the archive, the national office, inclusive of the affiliates program. So there's seven divisions rolled into a consolidated financial statement. That gets reported to CPB in the form of five different annual financial reports. And so if anyone's seen any of that correspondence, they'll use it, AFR and AFS acronyms. And so the AFS is an audited financial statement. And so that's what Scott and his team are putting together. From that, we derive five annual financial reports. And so and that's where, in reading the findings from the OIG, Office of Inspector General, on the 2008 through 2010 audits, I reviewed those findings. There were problems with that, and so NFFS was, more acronyms. NFFS is non-federal financial support, and that's what CPB bases their community service grants upon. And so it's essentially what it says, anything non-federal, but it also includes certain entrepreneurial income and income from other public stations. So it's a painstaking process to get the income that reports kind of naturally in our audited financial statements into the lines that the CPB requires. And then there are certain deductions against that, right? For example, for fair market value of high value premiums or thank you gifts. And that's where the organization ran into trouble in prior years where that wasn't getting deducted. So so just the timeline for that is for converting a completed audit statement into AFRs is really a weeks long process, and so I don't believe they would just accept an audit. So okay. That was really it was an aspirational goal, but based on the condition of the books for 17 and 18, it really was never realistic, and that came into focus in May. So we've had a couple of calls, we being Maxie and Anita and Otis McClay, I want to say. And I was really pleasantly surprised to find an awareness of the compliance requirements in terms of public notice and posting of minutes and or availability of minutes, I should say, and availability or posting of reasons for executive session, which needs to be documented within 10 days of any meeting that is closed, and that seemed to be in good shape. So I think the next round, FY19, is where we would expect to be closing all the divisions more in a normal business-like manner, where we would be able to have an audit on a more normal schedule and an ability to complete and complete the five AFRs, the annual financial reports to CBB on a timely basis. And by timely, I mean certainly with one automatic extension and then one more extension with explanation might be needed, hopefully not, but that's normal. Most stations at least get the one freebie. So that's where we're at. There's also a matter of repayment to CBB of a number. I've just seen or heard rough numbers. I believe it's in the 140,000 range that Pacifica was overpaid due to overstatements in their non-federal financial support and never repaid to CPB. Normally those repayments are made out of subsequent grants, but that's when, and this is around fiscal year 2012, that Pacifica was disinvited to the program, and so there were no further grants from which to deduct the overage from the prior years. So I think poised to get in line for the next cycle. If they would accept 17, just for calculation purposes, a 17 audit, that would be worth considering, but that's still quite late for CPB purposes. I don't think that would suffice.
Paulina, to the staff, please.
Paulina, please go ahead. Yes.
George, thank you for the detailed report. I have the following question. Who at Pacifica would be in charge of doing the laborious processes you just described, that is, of converting the audited financial statements into the five AFRs that are necessary? And that would be one. Who would be responsible for that work, and what kind of team do they count with? Then just to follow up from that, is this process for every financial year? So FY17 would have to have five AFRs, and FY19 I mean, how would it work? FY18. I mean, just to, if you could elaborate on that. Thank you.
In terms of who would do that, that would be us, and most specifically probably me. I've probably done 100 of these reports, and I've done multiple station reports with TV and radio, and so that has its challenges. Having five TV stations is just a twist on that. And then there's additional information required, sometimes pulling a certain amount of detail out of both the income accounts and especially the premium expense. And so it would need some cooperation from the membership departments and ability to pull reports of their of any thank you gifts that they issued. So that's something we would do, and most likely I would do, and we do many of these for our clients. I've been in the business 30 plus years and have done that. There's no value in terms of looking into the back years. It's my hope that they would just accept audited financial statements, and it's hard to get them on record. But I think I spoke to someone that agreed there was no value in doing the AFRs for 17 and prior years and probably 18, unless they're going to get us into the program. There would be no value in doing that exercise. That would be done to determine non-federal financial support, and that's used to determine a subsequent grant.
Right. So just to clarify, basically it would be the 2018 audited financial statements converted into the five AFRs by you guys, right, plus the extra requirement of deducing the higher end premiums. That would be per station, and that's something that might take time if the station's membership departments are not ready to provide those reports in the format that the CPB requires. Is that correct?
Yes, and the first set of AFRs I believe would be done on the FY19 audit.
Oh, so we're not doing the AFR for the 18 audit because we're not meeting the deadline for CPB funding this year. Do I understand it right? So that if we're not applying this year because we're not making the deadline, therefore we would need the. It would only be until 2020, so the relevant audit would be 2019.
Correct.
Thank you.
Marilyn has a question.
Yeah, please go, Marilyn.
Okay, we don't have any chance of getting CPB money until 2019 audits. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Me to the stack. I thought there was a possibility of getting partial year funding. You know, if we completed the applications or whatever, the document submissions, a half a year after the deadline, we could be applying for a half a year funding. Is that true?
That's not part of any conversation I've had, and so that might be familiar with Maxi, but I'm not aware of that.
Anybody else? Maxi or Grace or
Trying to think where I've heard it, but I haven't.
Yeah, this is actually, I know there was some consideration, and I think that came, and correct me if I'm wrong, Grace, but I think that may have been a thought per Krigler, that there may be a way for us to do that. And so that's not something I'm familiar with either. I've never had experience doing the partial. However, if Grace is on the line still and she can speak to that, that may be where that concept came from. And if it did come from Krigler, I would have to imagine it's a possibility. And exactly what it would take is the question.
Yeah, Grace is still here.
I can respond to that.
Yes, please do.
Okay. I had an email exchange with John Krigler about 3 weeks ago or so. And he said there might be a possibility, maybe, of getting some funding this year. If our application was absolutely perfect, that was under the, at that time, we thought that the 2017 audit was going to be complete and that the 2018 audit would be completed by the middle of June or thereabouts. He didn't know for sure. He said it was a possibility, maybe, that we could get some funding if the application was perfect. Those are his words. So it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but from what I heard from the past, there is a possibility of late applications, and there may be money set aside. There may, in other words, the CPP has a certain amount of funding. If they have monies left over, it might be possible to get funding, partial funding, with a late application.
Okay.
But this would have to be verified. I am not sure about this. Mr. Krigler did not mention that specifically, just my recollection from past CPB cycles.
It would be
in our very best interest to get all the parts of the application done as thoroughly and rapidly as we can, obviously.
Paulina, to the staff with a question for Grace.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Grace, do I understand you correctly that what Mr. Krigler was saying was that if we met that original deadline of having our 2019 audit by mid-June, and if our application was perfect, then we would possibly qualify for CPB funding. Does that mean that even with the audit complete, Mr. Krigler had doubts as to us qualifying for CPB funding?
Yes.
And what were those doubts based on?
It's an application process. There's no sure thing in an application process. We lost our CPB funding because he thought that might be possible. He would, when we're ready, he would communicate with the CPB and see if there might be a possibility that we could be reinstated rather than having to go through an entire submission process from the very beginning. In other words, we now no longer have CPB funding. We did have CPB funding in the past. The normal course of action in this case, or one possible course of action in this case, would be to apply newly, which would take longer. Another vague possibility, he wasn't sure if it was probable or likely, but he thought possibly we could ask to be reinstated rather than applying from the start, if that makes sense. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed, but obviously the quicker we're fully in compliant with all CPB CPB requirements, the greater the likelihood of retrieving or getting CPB funding. I hope that makes sense.
I lean to the stack. I'll call on myself.
And then,
what about the fact that we don't really expect to have a clean audit opinion for either 2017 or 2018. Do we know how that affects the CPB's, our application to the CPB? Do they require a clean audit? That would be important to find out, I think.
Grace, I don't know.
Okay, who could find that out?
This is George. I could find that out, and that might be on a case by case basis. The concerns that have been listed in the last several audit opinions and management letters would probably give them concern that there's not enough integrity in the numbers. And the other issue is the going concern matter.
Yeah.
And what our workaround, workout plan is to get the organization healthy and a viable going concern. And that's a matter, frankly, for the FY17, 18, and 19 audits. And so I know that's the Strategic Planning Committee and Maxie are working on those. And so that's language that will need to be updated for certainly for 18 and going forward. But I can check on that just based on the instructions for the AFR, for their financial reporting guideline.
That would be helpful.
To Max, access the stack.
One second. Who was that? I'm sorry. I didn't
Julie.
Hear who that was.
Julie. Sorry, Julie.
Okay. Yeah, gotcha now, sorry. I was asking if Maxie had any comments to that particular point.
This is Maxie. My comments aren't necessarily directly related to that. They're more probably in line to alternative ways to perhaps get some funding out of CPB. I think some of you know that when I was the executive director of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, I was able to secure roughly about a $1.3 million grant from CPB because of a plan, a strategic plan that I was able to articulate for the Federation at that time. I'm not saying that I can guarantee I can get that again, but if this organization puts together a strategic plan that speaks directly to some of the significant areas of failure in the recent and distant past, and can speak to perhaps some more immediate funding needs that might straighten us out and make us more fiscally responsible and able to put in place measures to improve our audience performance, which is another element of how we'll be reviewed. There's always a possibility that might lead to some kind of funding from CPB. They, as Grace mentioned, they do. Hello? Okay. As Grace mentioned, they do put aside some funding for special projects, and maybe we would be able to put ourselves in line for something like that, even if we're not in good standing with the program. So I just wanted to put that out there as a possibility that we might need to explore, and that can be discussed in consultation with CPB, either by myself or in tandem with George and or others to see what the possibilities might be for that.
Okay. Should we ask you then if you can put that on your to-do list to figure out the best way to follow up?
It certainly is on my to-do list. Like I said, in the past, it was the byproduct of putting together a strategic plan and a vision for what we were going to do at NFCB in that case to make the organization a more sound and fit outfit. You know, certainly that's something, as George mentioned, is being looked at with the strategic planning committee. But that's one way that we can address this. So, yeah, it's on my to-do list. The question's going to be timely.
Great. Thank you, Maxie. Julie, go ahead.
Yeah, so I agree with what Grace said earlier, that we need to just get our application elements together as fast as we can, recognizing that we've probably missed the deadline for this year, although I appreciate Maxie's point that maybe there are possibilities for other types of special funding. But my question was really, is there an annual cycle to the CPB funding so that basically approximately June next year is when we would absolutely positively want to have all of our ducks in gear, our application perfect, so that we're back on, you know, kind of a standard CPB funding cycle? Or is the June deadline not the standard one?
This is Max. I can respond to that, but I'm sure George or Grace might want to as well. What I was speaking to in some respects is going to CPB with full acceptance June of the following year, but putting together a plan that would position Pacifica to be proper so that when that evaluation period comes, that we've got not only all our ducks lined up in terms of paperwork and financials, but what we haven't really spoken about much is the performance of our stations. Audience measurement is a vital part of how CPB determines how much money stations get. And that's measured in two ways. Non-federal financial support, which basically, you know, as George mentioned earlier, but I'll boil it down even further, is how much is the community supporting you? And then secondly, you know, how many people are actually using the service? And so those are areas of membership, in our case, individual giving, as well as programming. And so I think if we can articulate a strategic plan that speaks directly to shoring up those areas of the organization in a way that CPB would respect and recognize as equivalent to industry standard, then we might be really well positioned for June. And in the meantime, be able to get some funding to support that work, to get positioned well in June.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, just in response, this is George. Just talking about the schedule, it's CPB runs their year on the federal year, so they run October to September. But public stations, TV and radio, have fiscal years all over the place, mostly in June, some in September, and I believe some are calendar year as well. And so for all the stations that are getting grants, they are reviewing filings right up until September, and by filings, the most important ones are the financial reports, which determine the total amount of NFFS in the system, and that determines the incentive portion of each station's grant. So that's why grants aren't really disclosed until October, when they've had time to firm that up. So I think based on the reportings from the last few comments, and we might be able to get in just on the base grant portion, which is based on audience and population, without respect to the NFFS or the incentive portion of the grants. That could be a possibility. So stations need to report the fifth month following the close of their fiscal year. So for Pacifica, the original due date is February 15th for the annual financial report. And there's an automatic extension if requested to March 14th or so. It's 30 days. And then there's an additional extension that can be requested. And so that would be April. And so we're pretty much done by April. So June is pushing it. But for FY19, there should be no reason why we can't report within that normal schedule.